Welcome to the United Cast, it's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today talking about our 5-4-7-6 on aggregate win, putting us through the quarterfinals into the semi-finals in the Europa League against Lyon. I've got a very mixed emotions coming out from this game. We got there in the end, which was very good. I can't really sort of just ignore or look past the almost catastrophic bottle job, if you want to call it that, of going 2-0 up, bottling that lead while the opposition is down 10 men, which almost made no difference. And then, because there's three sections to this game, right? Started off very comfortably, played very well, two pretty good goals. Could have scored a few more, but two good goals gave us a comfortable lead. Went into half-time just after the second goal, which is always a good, like, mentality thing to go... To like grab another goal just before half time or something, and then to completely bottle that, a man up. No, we didn't gain a player, they lost one. Having the opposition go a man down, and then because, like, if you're looking at what followed after that, of like, okay, you're 2-0 up, pretty comfortable. Lyon were doing some good stuff, they were getting in and that, but then they went down to 10 men. I think we just got too relaxed. That's the only way I can really describe it, is just... we just got too comfortable, and Lyon kept poking and prodding, and they eventually got what they wanted. And then we switched on what I always call the panicked football. I'd love if we started a game like that. With the panicked football, I'd really like to see that. I think that would be very interesting. Look, there's a lot of stuff I want to say about Højlund in this game. I don't know if I'll save that for the player ratings or when that will naturally come up, but there's lots to talk about there. I know I tweeted after we got destroyed 4-1 by Newcastle, and I said Amrim out. Now, to just address that quickly and to just kind of talk about it following from this game, my feelings on that aren't, like, straightforward. Because it's... okay, let me just... I'll answer the question in a second, but let me pose a question first. Let's say that we do win the Europa League... okay, and we get a bit better, but we don't magically, dramatically improve between now and August. Let's then say in the summer transfer window that Amorim gets kind of backed. Like, he signs three players, but you needed six, let's say. And then there's, like, obvious sort of, hey, this player still should have gone, they're still here. Oh, we really should have got this player, but we couldn't do it for whatever reason. And then let's say next season we start off being subpar with some, like, scraped by wins, and then we sort of fall apart from that, and Amrim gets sacked in November. If that's going to happen, which I think is what's going to happen, because I feel like we're going to win this Europa League now. I mean, if you put in this much effort to get through the quarterfinal... you better win the rest of it. So, anyway, but that's a topic for the next two games, I suppose. But, like, it's not because I think he's a bad manager. But when you go from, like, oh, doing really well at Sporting... which is different environment, different country, different league, different pace, different, like, every different league has got their own different sort of thing to it, right? Is he going to, like, once he gets a few more of his players in, because he's not going to get everybody that he wants this summer. We're just not, I just don't feel like we're going to do that. We're talking about getting rid of more players rather than bringing more in. So I don't know. If what I just explained is going to happen, we might as well have a new manager in the summer. Because you'll then end up in the same situation we've ended up in this year, which is you half back Eric in the summer, start off the season a bit shaky, a bit subpar. You fall off, in November, manager gets sacked, new one gets brought in. Oops, different system, different players are not his players. He doesn't have this, that, and the other. Doesn't get supported in January and then scrapes through for the rest of the season. I can almost feel the same thing happening. I know that's a bit more long term than just this game, but I'm just talking about like where I stand with this manager and that sort of thing. I think he's a good manager. We have got worse since he's been brought in. We just have. Now you can make the very fair argument that okay, he's been able to bring in like one of his own players and he's got Eric's squad still. I don't know. Maybe that's more of a conversation for the future. So yeah, the way I kind of stand on that is, I'm not sort of like get him out, he's rubbish. I'm thinking we shouldn't have necessarily got him in the first place. He's not doing well with Man United, but he might do better somewhere else, which is what he was already doing before. And I wonder if he's feeling that, to be honest. When I say like Amorim out, it's not because I don't think he's good enough and think he should go. I don't know if he's going to be able to do the Man United thing over the next year, let's say. So rather than going through the nonsense of that, why don't we all just move on and do something different? I also don't completely, I'm not completely sold on, because I can see what he's trying to do. I'm not completely sold on that idea working for Manchester United. So it's not an angry sort of, oh, I want him out, he's rubbish. There's just different circumstances around it, I think. So anyway, just to kind of like actually talk about that rather than just tweet it. And yeah, I did tweet Amorim out. That was diabolical because it was terrible against Newcastle. So anyway, but we're not here to talk about the Newcastle game. But it was an interesting game, definitely very interesting. And we went 2-0 up. We were very comfortable, and I still sat there. And again, because emotionally, what this Man United team has done this season just leaves you in a position where you just don't know what we're gonna do sometimes. So even when we are sitting there 2-0 up, fairly comfortable, they have a player sent off, which should make it easier for us. I was still sitting there thinking, I'm not on the cloud nine of like, we've done this, we're gonna do this, because we hadn't done it, and I was unfortunately right about that because we almost collapsed after that. I think if we didn't play panicked football after that, then we would have been knocked out. But I would like to see us start the game like that. So yeah, it's just there's a lot of complicated. This isn't a simple sort of, oh, that was great, everything's good, because we know everything's not okay, but it was a great bit of a fight back for this. It's just, I almost felt like, not in a way of calling these players animals or whatever, but particularly with the Højlund situation during and after he was subbed off. Sorry, while he played and after he was subbed off. I almost felt like a sort of David Attenborough watching these players just have these different sections of this game. I watched this game almost with more sort of just curiosity than anything else, of like, what are you gonna do next? I don't, there's a few different things that I think you might do, but I don't know what you're gonna do next. So I don't know. But great to get through and all that. Here's my thing though with winning the Europa League. Okay, it's good financially, it's good that we get another trophy. I genuinely think us being in the Champions League next season is just a bad idea. It's just a bad idea. I just don't feel like, I'm watching like, okay, I know Real Madrid didn't get past Arsenal. I'm watching like PSG and Real Madrid do their thing and like Inter Milan do their thing, and all these other big European teams. And I'm like, do I want Man United in the mixer with all those? And I think that's a dangerous prospect. Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, some of my off-the-cuff thoughts and things like that. Let's try, I guess, to remember everything and get through this this summary. So 10 minutes in, Ugarte scored. Very, very good work to get this goal here. There was somebody, I think it was Bruno, that won the ball back, plays it to Garnacho. Now, I'm not saying the pass was awkward, but Garnacho found himself in an awkward situation. The way he sort of curves himself around the defender and manages to find Ugarte, notice that the pass goes behind, goes past Højlund, finds Ugarte, taps it in. Good finish from Ugarte, very, very good bit of work from Garnacho, and good bit of play for Bruno, because he almost, like, I think, slipped and lost the ball, but manages to get it back. Very, very good from the three of them. Really, really good stuff. I probably am most impressed with what Garnacho was able to do here, especially considering, recent commentary about him and that sort of thing. So yeah, made it 1-0. Nice, kind of relatively good start from what I remember. And there we go. And then Delo scored. Says Maguire got the assist. Was it Maguire who made that cross? Because someone passed it to him, didn't he? He beat a defender and tucked it in the corner, almost from like the same spot Garnacho was just in. Very, very good goal again. But you service players in the box. So yeah, just very, very good for Delo to get that goal. Then Shaw came on from Azraoui. I'm not completely sure why, but I think it was to do with the centre back positions, wasn't it? So there was, I don't know if Mazraoui had a knock or something. I'm not sure. And then they brought on a few players, and where was it? Why does it say the red card was in? Hang on. Yeah, 2, so 2-0, so that made it 4-2 on aggregate, because it was 2-2, and then they scored 2 goals to come back. Right, that's it. Yeah, then they had the red card near the end of the game, wasn't it, because that's the guy who tripped Euro up. But they'd scored 2 goals before that, and then it was like, okay, we should be able to still win this game well. Because they're down to 10 men and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's just the extra time bit here was what was throwing me off. I can't even really remember their goals. One of them was from, because Lacazette scored the penalty, didn't he? There was a few. There was a goal where there was like some headers and stuff. Trying to remember all four of their goals. One was like a juggling sort of header thing in the box, wasn't it? And a few of our players didn't win their headers, and they headed it in. Yeah, that was their first goal. Then they had another one. I think it was cr across the face of the goal or something like that. So that made it 2-2, and that was kind of, yeah, second half they kind of like started getting back in the game, didn't they? And then they grabbed their 2 goals from that. I'm struggling to remember those goals, so I can't really analyze them per se. This red card, I'm not completely sure he trips Euro up. I think it's one of them, like, it just catches him, but, like, okay, at worst, I think that's a foul. I don't really think that's a second yellow card, really. I mean, it could be looked at as one of them tactical fouls. That you sort of need to make, because Euro was getting himself up and down the pitch, wasn't he? So he did really well. Before that, though, we had a couple of substitutions of our own. Mount on for Ugarte, which is good to see Mason Mount again, and Cobbie on for Højlund. So it's past this part that we no longer have the striker on the pitch to give service to, who we weren't giving service to anyway. Yeah, there's a definitive kind of pattern I've noticed with Højlund, but I want to talk about that when I talk about him in the player ratings. So yeah, those were the subs, and then they got the red card. Then it went into extra time. We made some other subs. Eriksen on for Garnacho. I don't think I would have taken off Garnacho in this game, But I would have maybe taken like Casemiro off or something for Eriksen, maybe. And then Amas on for Dorgu. I was looking at that and I was like, okay, get it left wing back for left wing back, or left sided player. Now, I always say I love to see young players get given a chance because it's good for the future of your club and it's also a big part of Man United's history. I wasn't sure, and he worked out okay in this game, Amas. I wasn't sure that bringing on a young player, like a really young player who hasn't played much first team football in this environment and in this situation, I wasn't really sure about that. So, I mean, Dorgu wasn't having a great game, but I think you could have done it, worked out all right, but we didn't know that at the time. Maybe you could have shifted Luke Shaw out there and then brought a different defender on. I don't know. But I was a bit just sort of, okay, great that he's been getting a chance, but is this the game that you want to do that in? I just wasn't sure about that. But he worked out okay. Then they scored another goal. I can only remember the Lacazette one for it, to be honest. But they scored one that made it 3-2. And it was a bad one to let in. If I remember it, then I'll go back to it. But it was honestly one of them where, like, it was goal after goal after goal. And I was like, am I going to actually remember these for the podcast? So, yeah. Oh, this was the one at the edge of the box, wasn't it? Yeah, this was the one that, what was that player's name? I thought he was really, really good. They brought on Fofana. I thought he looked really, really good. Can we buy him? Can we buy him? I think he looks really, really good. Like very quick, very, very good ball control. Like there's a bit where he's running forward from this goal, and like the ball's bobbling about a bit. There's like two Man United players chasing him, but manages to kind of get through. He also crossed it for one of the goals as well, didn't he? So he looked really, really good, Fofana as well. And then yeah, that was it. He got sort of fouled, taken down. They didn't need to look at it because then their player got the ball and just smashed it in the back of the net. So that was the first warning sign of 3-2. 10. So now they're 10 men down. We've got 11. Or down to 10 men, not 10 men down. And then they bang in the goal, make it 3-2, and it looks like it's going to be a disaster from there. And then they made another substitution, and then someone else ran in the box for them and got taken down by like three of our players. No contact on the ball, it's a penalty. And then Lacazette put it away, and then that was where it really, really looked like, okay, that's just the end of our season, right? Not in a way of we don't have time to get back in the game, because we find out in a minute that we did. But that by that point you're looking at the game and thinking, okay, it was level. They had a player sent off, and sometimes I know FIFA isn't the same as real football. Sometimes I notice it on like FIFA when more so when the other team gets a player sent off than you do, and it doesn't feel like it makes any difference. It doesn't feel like you have more space. And there was honestly points in this game I forgot they'd had a player sent off because it didn't look like it. Plus, I don't know who their team is or who plays where really. So I just didn't notice who the player was that got sent off. And I couldn't see sort of where the extra space was, which might have been a tactical thing from Leon. I don't really know. But you're thinking like, okay, it's been brought back to 2-2, but they're 10, they're down to 10 men. This is your chance. Like now is when you really go. Now is that point was when you should have started the panicked whipping the ball football sort of stuff, because you would have gotten what you needed more early, I think. But yeah, then Lacazette scored, and that felt like, okay, this is the end of the season. This is the end of Amorim. I know that that's a dramatic thing to feel, but you kind of do in the moment, right? Because that's how football kind of works. You don't always think clearly when you're watching a game of football, especially one like this. But yeah, that just felt like the end. How do you muck that up? And then 4 minutes later, Bruno gets a penalty. I think this was the Casemiro foul. As soon as Bruno puts this in, it's like, Is this going to be one of them ones that we just scrape something together and either get it through to penalties or win the game? And the answer was yes. Now is it okay? There's a lot of game-changing moments in here, but that is that Casemiro going down there and getting the actual penalty. That is probably the game-changing moment because okay, let's say we didn't get the penalty or it wasn't a foul or something different happened. You might not get that moment back again. Yeah, keeper does almost save it, so was a bit nervous there. And it was a penalty. Like there's no contact on the ball from the other players. It was quite similar. Both penalties that were given were quite similar, weren't they? For the foul, it was sort of like three players climbing onto another one. Then they made another sub, and then this is my favourite goal of the game. Casemiro lays it through. It's a really, really good bit of pass and move, quick panicked football. And Kobbie Mainoo, we know he can do this. And our owner has still described him as a sellable asset, so just keep that in mind. He does this reminded me of the Wolves 4-3, if you'll remember that one from is Eric's first or second season when that happened. I think it was the second season. Because that was Kobbie's like breakthrough season, wasn't it? The finesse on this and just that nice little this is like the classic FIFA sort of RB or R1. You just tuck it away in that corner. It's such a striker's goal to get as well. But really, really great sort of build-up play with this. Casemiro does well. I think Bruno or Dalot or somebody was involved. But man, just that moment you just cut in. It's like, wow, Kobbie's gonna score this, and it just went in. So welcome back, Kobbie Mainoo. We missed you a lot. We missed you a lot. It's good to have you back. And then the moment, the glorious moments. Casemiro again. Casemiro is such a fascinating player. Sometimes he does like the stupidest, worst things he can do. And then he does things like score a screamer or like whip a perfect ball into the box or something. Like 1 minute he'll give the ball away stupidly on the edge of the area, and then 5 minutes later he'll like cross a make like a 40-yard cross or something, bang onto somebody's head. He's an odd player. He's an odd player. It's funny with Maguire, isn't it? Because you look at big centre backs, right? So like Van Dijk is one. You look at Maguire. I'm sure there's many others as well. And you think like, okay, Højlund's been subbed off. Which tall players do we have? Now McTominay kind of was that player, wasn't he? Was it last season? When it was like, okay, bring him on late. He's got the height. Not the same height as Maguire, I don't think, but he was the player who could like nick you a goal late on, like the sort of super sub. And yeah, you think like just okay, you don't really need to de try bother defending. Stick him up front, and you have a late-headed Maguire goal, don't you? Reminds me of some of McTominay's ones, like the Brentford one, I think from last season or something. But you just see that ball just bounce right in that bottom corner, and that's the moment you know the game is done, the game is over. So big congratulations to Maguire. And again, you guys put in all this effort to win this game. I mean, you shouldn't have needed to put in that much effort because you had the advantage. You better win the rest of the competition. I'll say the same thing about Arsenal. You've just gone through a lot of effort to outplay Real Madrid and knock them out of the Champions League. You better go and win the rest of the competition because, let's be honest, right? I think we've got Athletic Bilbao next. You lose over two legs to them, you may as well just lost this game. Because it's like when you take a quarter final all the way to penalties or something. It's like, okay, you've just scraped through to like the next round or whatever. Make it mean something, make it worth something. Because if we now don't win this competition, even if it means losing in the final, then this effort here was a waste of time, wasn't it? So if you're going to try this hard, and I remember like our FA Cup run from last season, for example, we tried really, really hard, but we ended up getting it. You don't just, you know, you go, let's say you look at the different rounds as like doors. You're trying to shove your way through different doors. You shove your way through the quarterfinal, you shove your way through the semi-final, and then you can't get through that door to win the final. It makes the effort you put in before a bit sort of like not a waste of time, but wasted effort. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm looking at this game, and yeah, I'm still like I you cannot, no matter how happy you are at the fact that we won this game, it's not a good idea to ignore the massive red flag in this game. And it's something that we have to address and we have to look at, because if things like that happen again in football, these things will catch up with you. And it's like when a team is sort of scraping to win the league and they're winning by one goal, by one goal, by one goal. It's like, okay, you've got to keep up. You've got to keep that up. Otherwise, because football is a big momentum thing, right? Like, you put in that much effort and you've just got to keep going, because the moment you slip, it makes everything that you did before, kind of useless. So, yeah, we'd better win the rest of the. After we've just done this, we'd better go and win the rest of the competition. Because if we then get, let's say comfortably beaten by Bilbao or whoever it is we've got next, it will make this effort a bit of a waste, won't it? So if you're going to put in this much effort to win one of the rounds of the competition, you gotta carry that momentum. You gotta push it all the way and win the final against whoever that's going to be. All right, I got some. I'm going to spend a fair bit of time talking about Højlund in this one, so just brace yourself for that. But he's going to be the last, because he's at the top. He's going to be the last one I talk about in terms of the first team. So I have a lot of stuff to say about that, because not only am I noticing repeat patterns, I've noticed new patterns. And again, I felt like whether it was focusing on what the team was doing, or I really, really like when we kept going on the counter attack, or we kept getting forward, I stopped looking at who had the ball and I kept looking at Højlund in this game, because I was really trying to see something. And so I'm going to spend a bit more time on that. But anyways, take a break. We'll come back, do player ratings, pick a man of the match, all that sort of stuff, and I'll be back in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, let's get into play ratings. My man of the match for this game with a 10 is going to be Lenny, not Yenny. Euro. That's who I'm trying to talk about. I mixed up his 2 names there, didn't I? Lenny Euro. Look, he's had to play a few more minutes recently than what he might have been intended for, because you want to manage the minutes of your young players like Lenny Euro. But still 19 years old, literally putting his head on the line in this game. I thought it was fantastic, and I think it's become apparent from this game, because Martinez, the left centre back, ended up being the one excuse me, of the back three that would be the ball carrier, he'd be carrying the ball forward. Yoro did that loads of times in this game, and he's getting more and more confident doing it. And I can't remember what we paid for him, but whatever it was a bargain. And aside from him literally putting his head on the line, he was just absolutely fantastic in this game. So not a sellable asset. I would like our owner to stop calling players that. Can you imagine being a young footballer and your owner goes, "Yeah, you're a sellable." I still just can't get over that. And it reminded me of when Cobbie was on this pitch as well. So, yeah, stop saying stupid stuff. Yeah, gonna give him a 10. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I can't really. Re I mean, there was a lot of football played. I can't really remember any big mistakes that he made. So if he did, I forgot about them. Let's go back to André Onana. Of course, big, big game for him. Made some big, big saves in this game. Did let in 4 goals. I don't think in this situation where you can really blame him for any of them, there wasn't any sort of like big, ball drops or parries to players right next to him, or diving poorly, or anything like that, or sort of playing the ball straight to the opposition. Distribution was okay from what I remember. But played really, really well in this game, so I'm going to give him a 9. Mazraoui, I honestly don't remember a lot of Mazraoui's performance in this game, so I'm just going to give him a 6. Maguire, and of course, Mazraoui only played, well, technically less than half the game. Maguire, I thought, played very, very well, was obviously dominant in the air again. It is worth talking about with, I think it was their third goal. Why did he duck out of the way? Now, you went and got the winning goal, so that sort of puts your rating up a bit. But, like, yeah, why did he do that? I'm not sure what was going on there. Usually if you do something like that, it's because someone's passed the ball to someone who's not meant, someone's passed the ball and it wasn't meant for you. And in order to keep the momentum of the sort of pass and the movement going, you sort of move out the way. I don't think that was that for that situation. Because I think if he doesn't duck, then the ball just probably hits him. I don't know where the ball would go after that. The ball probably just hits him. And if it was a case of he's not aware, then he needed to be more aware in that situation. But apart from, okay, it's a big mistake. I thought he played very, very well apart from that, and obviously a very, very important goal at the end, so I'm going to give him a 7. Dalot, I thought, had one of his better games in a United shirt. Got a few more crosses in from what I remember, which was good. We will talk about crosses definitely in a minute. Scored a good goal, took his goal really well. We know he's capable of a good finish, and also he's good at long shots sometimes as well, so I'm going to give him an 8. Ugarte, mucked up with a couple of little things. I think he's one of the players that gave away the penalty, wasn't he? Or the free kick near the edge of the area. Scored a good goal to give us the lead, obviously. So that was really good as well. So I'll probably give him a 7. Casemiro, played well from what I remember. Got two very important assists near the end of the game. Don't remember a lot about his general performance, to be perfectly honest. But I'll probably give him a 9. Dorgu, I thought he struggled. I don't know if he's got some sort of confidence issue since coming back. It's possible. Worked a bit better with Garnacho with the overlap. I thought that was better. Still not great, but better. So I'll probably give him a 6. Garnacho, I think I'm going to give him a 7. His intent in this game was a lot better. His decision making was a lot better. Although there's two instances worth talking about. One where he absolutely should have scored. He sort of put one of the defenders on the floor, and you assumed he would do a Cobbie, right? Of just, the classic curled shot in the bottom of the corner. Didn't score that. There's also one particular point he really, really, really should have passed to Højlund, and he didn't. So to give him a 7 for that. I'll leave Højlund until last because I've got a lot to say there. Bruno Fernandes did score an important goal. Did help dig the team out of the situation. So I just thought this was one of his better leadership games because there's differences in Bruno's performance in terms of his goals and assists. He's known for that. His behaviour in the game, he's known to let that slip sometimes, and his actual ability as a captain. I thought he did better as a captain in this game than recent memory. Didn't seem to get, too stroppy or too sort of hot-headed, and scored an important goal as well. So I'll probably give him a 9. All right, let's talk about Højlund, shall we? The fury, the genuine fury I had watching this guy trying to get serviced in this game has gone. So I can't really give the same emotional, well, not emotional, heated speech as I was going to give before. There's such a, I don't know if visceral is the right word, there's such a sort of, I'll use the word visceral because I can't think of anything else. Visceral discussion towards this player in the fan base that I just, when you wonder if you're the only person that can see something and you just don't understand why other people can't. We do not pass to this player. We do not do it. And I've noticed so many times, and it happened again in this game, you sub him off, okay, welcoming Kobbie onto the pitch, whatever. Why are we crossing the ball into the players after we've taken our striker off? I mean, it's great that we did that because we played the panic. That resulted in the panicked football, and we won the game. I'm telling you right now. I'm gonna sit here and tell you this right now. Pick out any striker you want from the entire history of football. It doesn't have to be a Man United player. It can be any Thierry Henry, Raul from Real Madrid, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Robin van Persie, Cristiano Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo, Messi. Aguero, Haaland, Dennis Bergkamp, the four that we used to have, York, Cole, Sheringham, Solskjaer, who's good right now, Mbappe, Harry Kane, somebody that we should have got, Lewandowski, Benzema. It does not matter who you've got up front if you do not service the player. And I continue to be, so this has changed for me because if you remember a few months ago, sort of more in the middle of the season, I was like, why are we pumping the ball to this guy in the middle of the pitch where he can't hold it up because that's not part of what he's good at? And we did it over and over and over and over and over again, and it didn't work. Thankfully, we stopped doing that. But I don't know what's more frustrating is watching when we used to do that or watching this guy run into the box and we just don't pass the ball to him. We just do not cross the ball into this player. And there was a point the camera pointed him at one point. I think Garnacho took a shot or something like that, and he was so furious that he kicked the post. If I don't know if some of you who are watching this game saw that. Why do we not pass the ball to this player? He is not going to gain more confidence, and he is not going to get better if you do not service him. And I'm not talking about passing the ball to him in the middle of the pitch or making him run the channels as if he's a winger or something. This is not the team where we had Tevez, Rooney, and Ronaldo, and it didn't really matter where the three of them were because they were all good at kind of the same thing, and you could use them in the same way, and you could have more of a fluid front three. He is not that type of player because it's almost a waste of time. When, let's say, one of our midfielders, let's say Ugarte for some reason, plays the ball to him down the channel, okay, he receives it, he's got it. And then he has to pass the ball to somebody near the box, which isn't him, when you would prefer to have him in be the person that's passed to. So we're either doing that or where we give the ball this guy down the wing for some reason because that's the only place we can seem to give him the ball to, or he runs into the box over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and we seem to always pass to a different player or kick the ball over his head or kick it behind him or kick it too far in front of him or give him like a scrappy shot on the edge of the box or something. It just, I felt like David Attenborough watching like like so curiously watching like what we do with this player. And that doesn't mean that you have to like him as a player. I think he's fantastic, and I think when we there are so many examples, and I saw a clip a few weeks ago of the end of last season, when he got, what was it, 8 goals in 7 games. It's because he was getting serviced more. So for anyone out there being like, oh, we should sell him, he doesn't score any goals. He just fundamentally doesn't get given the ball in positions where he could realistically score from. It just does not happen. And like, okay, take him out of the team. Go and buy Harry Kane. Go and do it, right? Okay, Harry Kane, yes, is obviously a better footballer than Haaland. But if you're giving Kane the ball in the same situations that you're giving it to Haaland, the same thing's probably going to happen. And it drove me mad watching it happen in this game. Because when he scored some really, really good goals in goal-scoring positions, he's got a fantastic finish on him. But you can't do that if he's got the ball by the corner flag, can you? Or if he's got the ball on the halfway line, or, where would you call it? In between the edge of the box and the halfway line. Like, he's not Rooney, he's not Ronaldo or Tevez, he's not a sort of like more centre forward type striker. And honestly, if I was him, I mean, forget the discussion of should Man United sell Hoyland. Should Hoyland be bothered to stay at Man United? Because, like, okay, put yourself in it. Sometimes you need to just look at what's happening to somebody and put yourself in their shoes. Now imagine you're Rasmus Højlund and you make run after run after run after run, and you just don't get the ball crossed to you. It just doesn't happen, and it did not happen once in this game. Again, imagine then you get subbed off, so you're then sitting on the bench, and then you watch your team cross the ball into the box over and over again. Especially the last 10 minutes, where it was, oh, Cobbie's got the ball in a goal scoring situation. Oh, Maguire's got a header in the box now all of a sudden. Oh, Dalot gets the ball in a goal scoring opportunity. Ugarte gets the ball in a goal scoring opportunity. Because if you look at, let me go back to the summary. Let's just talk about positioning for a moment. Yeah, let's just talk about positioning for a moment, right? Look at where Ugarte is. Forget who passed the ball or who did what or whatever, right? I'm going to go through these goals and just imagine if Haaland was there instead of the player who got the ball. So let's say you could almost swap them around because Haaland was in the box, he just didn't get the ball passed to him. Imagine you switch around Ugarte and Haaland, and Haaland gets the ball in the exact spot that Ugarte does. He's scoring that goal. If let's say that Højlund still wins the duel that Dalot gets into, and I know that their different preferred foot, Højlund is left and Dalot is right foot. That again is a goal scoring position that Højlund should be getting given the ball to. I think he scores that one. Let's go forward to, okay, Bruno scored a penalty. Kobbie Mainoo. Now that's a bit of a classic Kobbie Mainoo situation of a goal. And again, you've got the right foot, you got the preferred right foot situation there, because Cobby wasn't going to kick that with his left foot, was he? Imagine you switch that round, Højlund is there, and let's say Højlund does the same little sort of cut inside manoeuvre, which he can also do, because we've seen him do that before. And, okay, does he have the ability to score the goal in the same way that Cobby does? Yes, I think he does, because I've seen him score goals like that before. Then if you look at Maguire, bit more of a difficult one here, and okay, Maguire is obviously taller than Haaland, so it gives him a bit more of advantage. Let's say you take the exact same positioning of where the defender is and where Maguire is. Now the defender doesn't quite manage to stay with Maguire. Maguire manages to peel away from him pretty decently. So you haven't got quite the sort of, it's not a full-on duel because Maguire managed to sort of peel away from him a bit more. Does Haaland score that chance? I would say yes. I think that he does. I think most players would score or at least get the ball on target. So for all these, four is that? Yeah, because the fifth was the penalty. Did he get given in this game any chance up until, when was he on till? He was on until the 86th minute in this game. Did he get given any of the same service or situations as any of those goals I've just read out? No, he didn't. He didn't get given that at all. The last time that happened, I can remember happening, I don't know if it was in the Newcastle game or the one before that, where Dorgu had the ball on the left-hand side and crossed it into Højlund. Okay, he scuffed the shot a bit. It wasn't a great effort and all that. He was probably a bit shocked that the ball was actually in a goal-scoring position at his feet. That being said, you've got to give him about five of them per game because I think that's what you've got to do with your striker anyway. You've got to give them about three to five of those chances in a game anyway. Okay, before that Dorgu chance, okay, Xerxes started a few games. I cannot remember the last time he was given the ball and serviced in a situation like that. So even if for those of you that like, let's say you don't like him as a player or whatever, can you sit here and agree with me that he just does not get serviced in these same ways that I've described? Apart from the Dorgu pass, what was the last one that you can remember that was similar to that or similar to these other four goals, apart from Bruno's penalty, in a game? Because I can't remember a single one. Could have happened if there was a bit where Garnacho could have, like, even it was as he was running, I was sort of not shouting, but I was going, pass it to Højlund, pass it to Højlund, pass it to Højlund. Just didn't do it. Just didn't do it. Just it just blows my mind. I just also because the last striker we had that was a similar type was probably Cavani. Because Xerxes not the same type of player. Xerxes not the same type of player at all. He's more of like a Martial type who will score you goals, but his key thing is like ball control, holding up the ball. You've been able to see that recently, even in the Newcastle game as well. Who else was similar? Ronaldo kind of molded into that, and in his first season when he came back, he was good at doing that, and then he just sort of fell away. He got serviced. Cavani got serviced. He scored some fantastic goals as well. No, I can't think of another striker that's like this. The same sort of, if you want to use the term, like goal poacher sort of thing, that we, I wouldn't say serviced badly, but completely failed to service. And I just don't understand it. It just I've stopped trying to get like annoyed or angry about it and just ended up being genuinely fascinated by how long this has gone on for, which will probably be until the end of the season. But I'm glad he sort of and you can see a few other little ones where like he's raising his arms and being like, "What the hell? Why aren't you passing to me?" And I'm there with him every single time that happens. Because at least for the other players, if it was more sort of, okay, the other players are crossing the ball nearer to him, at least they can say they're doing their job of crossing the ball in or doing whatever. But then again, in this game, you take him off and then you start whipping the crosses in and then you start passing the ball into the area more effectively because we knew we needed a panic and we knew we needed goals. That was why that happened. So yeah, I'll give him a 20 out of 10 in this game. I'll probably give him a six again because what else am I gonna do? I don't know. Does anyone share the same sentiment as me? Do you all think I'm just mad and he's just a terrible player? Go back and watch some of the goals he scored from last year. Go and watch the when he did do the 8 and 7 or whatever it was. He was just in more goal scoring positions. Even the one he scored against. I think it was the last. Was it the previous Europa League round? Not the Lyon one, whoever we beat before that. Let me just check something. Semi-final, quarter-final, last eight. Sociedad. 1-1. Who scored in the 1-1 game? Xerxes scored. And the other fixture was 4-1. Bruno scored twice. Scored a hat trick. Delo, it might have been the one before that. Where we played. It won't let me click on that one. I don't know why. There was a game very recently. Højlund scored near the start of the game, and he got the ball like near the right. He was fed the ball near like the right hand side of the box, and he tucked it away from that. I cannot remember which game it was from. Actually, I'll tell you what would be easier to do. If I click on squad, click on Hoyland, Rasmus Hoyland, and it will tell me which games he scored a goal in. Not for Denmark. Leicester. Was it a Leicester game? Maybe. It does say Bruno assist Hoyland goal in the first 28 minutes. It might have been the Leicester game. This is from the 16th of March, which was, yeah, a month ago. My point is, it just doesn't happen, and I am just completely baffled by it. So, make of that what you will. Okay, it's gone to other players. Luke Shaw, I thought, did well when he was subbed on. Mason Mount, good to see him again. I thought he did well. Cobbie did really, really well. Took his goal really well. Amass, I thought, did well considering the situation. And Eriksen wasn't on for that long, but I thought did good as well. On the bench, we had Amass, Bayender, Eriksen, Heaton, somebody called Jadon Camerson's 18-year-old English defender. Godwill Kukonki, I've mentioned him before, we just haven't seen him yet. 17-year-old defender. Lindelof, Maino, someone called Jack Morehouse, 19-year-old midfielder, Irish. And then Mount and Luke Shaw. Mason Mount and Luke Shaw are actually playing football now, which is good. Then we've got Collier out with a knock, Delitt out with a knock, Ahmed out with an ankle injury, Evans, who's leaving at the end of the season, lower back injury, Heaven, ankle injury, Martinez, knee injury, Obi's not registered for the Europa League, and Xerxes, I think, is out for the season with a hamstring injury. All right, that's all of that out the way. So just to reiterate, I'm not covering any games for the rest of the Premier League season. So we do have Wolves next Sunday, sorry, this Sunday, on the 20th at 2 o'clock, and then it says Bournemouth 2 o'clock, 27th of April, 1st of May. We've got yes, Athletic Bilbao. We're away for the first leg, and then we play them again on the 8th of May. So that will be the two semi-finals. The teams that are left in the Europa League is Tottenham, Bodo Glimt. Is it Glimt? That's one of the teams that Haaland scored against, if you remember that really good finish. Tottenham, Bodo Glimt, Athletico Bilbao, sorry, Athletic Bilbao, and Manchester United. Could get Spurs in the final, couldn't we? That'd be interesting. So yeah. Anyway, I've said what I would like to say today, and that is that. All right, if you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, please, if you have any opinion about Hoyland, please let me know and we can see how we match up with that. Tell you what I'll do, I'll give you all some tasks, or one task. Sunday's game, assuming Hoyland's going to play, because who else is going to? We don't have another striker, or Xerxes. Any time that we look like we're breaking forward and looking for the runs of the players, just look at Hoyland. That's genuinely what I did in this game. Like, as soon as we got past the halfway line and we were sort of, let's say, on the attack, just looked at Hoyland and just look at, does the ball get to him in a useful position? Just try and keep your eyes out on that. I think it'd be very interesting to see what goes on from now on. Anyway, yes, your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, matthewatentertainmenttalk.org. Social media, eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcasts, lots and lots and lots of coverage for Last of Us this week, called Season 2, Episode 1. We came back for Season 2, Episode 1. So all of the different podcasts are out for that. Gaming Talk this week was fun, so we did that as well. Might do a political talk in a minute. I want to talk about the Supreme Court and what they decided to do this week, because I have some opinions about that. So I might do that in a minute. I've still got some energy left, so I probably will. So there's that. And then yeah, United Cast, Gaming Talk, Last of Us. Hopefully doing some film reviews over the next couple of days. There is five films out at the moment that I want to see. I'm not gonna say like, hey, I'm gonna see it on this day or whatever. You'll know when I've reviewed a film because you'll see the review for the film. I'm just gonna leave it at that. So look out for all that stuff. And then yeah, you can go to entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, entertainment talk for TV, games, films, main night podcast for all the different ones that we do. You can support us, of course, by listening to more episodes, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentioned something we podcasted on, please tell about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Ad-free podcast review options for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk. You can go from here over to there if you want to listen to that and get your newest TV and film news. And then YouTube is Entertainment Talk Plays. If you missed my stream last week on Saturday, I did a no return for Last of Us stream. It is a spoiler-free horde mode type thing. And you can watch me do that, as well as our other fun clips and bits and pieces over on YouTube. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.